The British comedy The Office, a mock documentary series starring Ricky Gervais as the pompous and clueless middle management boss at a paper supply company, has been remade by NBC for an American audience. It starts tonight. TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
You've had plenty of chances by now to see the original BBC version of The Office, which was comprised of 12 episodes and one farewell special. On cable, BBC America has shown it many times, and, in fact, is showing it again the next 2 weekends. And if you don't have cable, but do have a DVD player, the original Office is available as a complete box set. It's brilliant television. Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant wrote it, and Gervais starred in it as David Brent, a guy who thinks he's a lot more witty and lovable and intelligent than he is. But at heart, he's a decent enough guy. And no matter how many inappropriate things he says or how many embarrassing moments he has to endure, you end up feeling sorry for him and even liking him. In the British version of The Office, that was the key. To Americanize it, Greg Daniels from King of the Hill and the show's other writer-producers have taken the characters from The Office, renamed them, and used the pilot script as a springboard. After the premiere episode, which closely resembles the British pilot, NBC's The Office is on its own, providing its own scripts and ideas. As fights for independence from England go, it hardly ranks up there with the American Revolution. Steve Carell from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart on Comedy Central stars in the NBC version as Michael Scott. Like all other characters, he's been renamed in the move across the Atlantic. But where Ricky Gervais let the boss's insecurities show through, Steve Carell is all noise and stupidity. He's like a sketch comedy character, not a real person. Not just foolish, but a fool. I don't even think it's fair to compare the pilot episode to the original. That's too mean and too easy. But here's a scene from next week's second episode, the first one written by Americans for Americans. Guest star Larry Whitmore plays a consultant sent to the office to conduct a seminar on racial diversity. The staff is gathered in a conference room, and Carell's Michael Scott is standing next to the consultant, trying to lead the session he's supposed to be attending.
At Diversity Today, our philosophy is about honesty and positive expectations. We believe that 99% of the problems in the workplace arise simply out of ignorance.
You know what? This is a color-free zone here. Stanley, I don't look at you as another race.
This is what I'm talking about. We don't have to pretend that we're colorblind.
Exactly.
That's fighting ignorance with more ignorance.
Tolerance.
No, with more ignorance. Right, exactly. Instead, we need to celebrate our diversity.
Let's celebrate.
Right. Okay.
Celebrate good times. Come on! Let's celebrate diversity, right?
Yes, exactly. Now, here's what we're going to do. I've noticed that...
You know what? Here's what we're going to do. Why don't we go around and everybody, say a race that you are attracted to sexually. I will go last. Go.
I have two.
Nice.
White and Indian.
Actually, I'd prefer not to start that way. Michael, I would love to have your permission to run this session. Can I have your permission?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And it would also help me if you were seated.
Okay.
Thank you.
Generally, I prefer comedies that don't have laugh tracks. But I also prefer comedies that have laughs, and this office doesn't. For the most part, its tone, like its central character, is too loud and too forced. There are glimpses, though, of what the British office accomplished so well. In the original, there was a touching ongoing storyline about the unrequited love of a quiet paper salesman, Tim, played by Martin Freeman, for an equally low-key receptionist named Dawn, played by Lucy Davis. For NBC's The Office, these characters are named Jim and Pam and are played by John Krasinski and Jenna Fischer. They hit the right notes, and their scenes together are the only times when this new office works. And Carell isn't the only one who falls flat. Rainn Wilson, as the paranoid office lackey played so superbly in the original by Mackenzie Crook, underplays his role as much as Carell overplays his. There may be one other reason for the NBC show's imminent failure, a very simple one. Even though only a few million people have seen the British version of The Office on cable or DVD, it has been seen, and comparisons are not only inevitable, but devastating. The American TV shows that were based on British programs and became hits here are a short list that includes All in the Family, Sanford and Son, Three's Company, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and American Idol. But they all had one thing in common. Viewers in this country hadn't seen the originals beforehand. Now think of how many Americanized versions of British shows have died a very quick death here. Shows like NBC's Coupling last season, and Cracker, and Cold Feet, and, over the years, two absolutely horrendous versions of Fawlty Towers, one starring John Larroquette, the other starring, honest, B. Arthur. Add NBC's The Office to that bad list, then avoid it. Watch the original Office this Saturday and next on BBC America, or go out and buy or rent the DVD. It's worth it. NBC's attempt to open its own office isn't.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Daily News.